It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
How do you explain the Bears somehow winning before ultimately losing to the Commanders 18-15? They are now 3-17 on the road in the Eberflus era ahead of next week's game in Arizona to the Cardinals, and they are already set as a 1.5-point underdog. What was the absolute worst thing about yesterday's loss?
Yeah, I mean, my God, there were some bad things about that loss, but if I had to pick the one thing, I think that Olin Krutz, who we'll talk to at 7 o'clock, got it right. I think Caleb Williams showed you the special. Caleb Williams came back from a terrible performance and got it done in the fourth quarter and brought them back to two touchdowns, including one after the fumble at the goal line with the ridiculous handoff, the call to hand off to Doug Kramer. Poor Doug Kramer, he must feel awful about it. Don't worry, Doug, it's not your fault. At any rate, I think that Caleb, I want to get back to that.
I'm sorry. You need to be crisper.
We got to be crisper.
Crisp.
I thought that the fact that Williams came back and won that game, and then we're sitting here right now talking about Jaden Daniels winning that game, that stinks. Mm-hmm. And that is the worst thing that happened in that game.
The worst thing that happened in that game is that Tyrique Stevenson got caught with his back to the ball as it's being snapped on the final play of the game that ends up being a 70-yard heave for a Hail Mary conversion. That was by far a long list of bad things, but that was by far, to me, the worst.
It's a long list, isn't it? It's a long list, too long. I think to sum up, the worst thing about yesterday was the realization that this still, it remains a football team, dare I say, a football regime, an organization that does not know how to win. If you know how to win, you know how to close. If you know how to win, you know better than to hand the ball to a backup offensive lineman when you don't have the lead, when you need to be sure about everything that you do, and you hand the ball to a backup guard. Unplug the mini fridge. That's over. Sorry, Doug Kramer. It's not your fault.
I would use him as a blocker because they cut Kerry Blackmon.
Maybe. You got tight ends for that. It seems gimmicky to me. You can't afford. Again, goes back to the whole overarching thing. The Bears proved yet again they have no clue how to win. That's a problem. That's a credibility issue. We're in year three. Year three. This isn't a novice head coach any longer. You don't know how to win. Learn it.
Maybe that's something Eberflus can clear up a little bit later on today, but that's a good question.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. Biggs time around 6:40 this morning. Where are you with the cornerback Tyrique Stevenson this morning? What was his worst moment in the game? Was it when he picked up a 15-yard personal foul for poking an offensive lineman in front of another official, or was it when he was jawing at the fans when the final play started before running to cover the Hail Mary and batting it to Noah Brown for the game-winning catch?
I love this question because it's a long one, because that's how much time you need to describe how bad of a day it was for Tyrique Stevenson. Hashtag bear down. Save the apology. I'm not interested. Nobody should be. And I hope Matt Eberflus doesn't fall for it. He may apologize to the team. He may have tears falling, rolling down his cheeks. I don't care. He's got to sit. You have to be in a healthy scratch. You got to send a message. If you are not holding Tyrique Stevenson accountable for that nonsense, back to the line of scrimmage with the game on the line, once again, you haven't won anything yet. That game was still in question. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know how to win. It's time to learn. It's time to make an example out of somebody. I don't care who starts behind him and what the depth situation is and who's injured and who isn't. You have a problem with a young player who's very good, but he's very undisciplined, and you need to instill some within him. Sit him.
Notes taken, David. Improvement will happen. Now, when you say sit him, are we talking like
healthy scratch?
Like from the whole game?
That's a healthy scratch.
Okay, so would you leave him hit? Okay, I want to clarify. I just want him a little more. Would you leave him at home? He does not go to Arizona.
I might take him and then healthy scratch. Make him watch. Wow. His backup struggle against Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison Jr. and realize what that means to him.
Hashtag bear down.
I just don't. I mean, usually I would be the one with that strong of an opinion, but I mean, the problem is depth.
We're not talking about Daryl Revis here. I mean,
well, he's their starting corner.
Well, that's a whole other topic I would like to get into. No, Daryl Revis
coming off a terrible game.
I mean, I'm not arguing that at all, but I remember feeling like, God, I hope he's healthy enough to play. And now here we are.
Could we add the 61-yard bomb that he got burnt on, the longest
Thank
play,
you.
Right?
Thank
add
you.
Add that into the mix as well.
That was another
right.
one.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. He didn't like Terry McLaurin, did he? They were jawing before he poked
it. I'll take Terry McLaurin in that one. He's proven something.
I'm not arguing that. Tyreek Stevenson had a nightmare. He had, his worst moment has to be the last play of the game because it cost the Bears the game. And it just looked like a guy who was hot dogging it and having a laugh and didn't realize that the game wasn't over. So that has to be the worst one. But I thought poking a guy in front of an official was an incredibly selfish act. Everybody has moments where they lose their head a little bit, but that was just really disgraceful. And I think that that's the word that I'll stick with when I think of his performance in that game. It's one thing to have a poor game. It's another thing to kind of disgrace yourself, and I felt he did.
I don't know. That's a tricky question.
That's the voice of DJ Moore, 8 o'clock. He'll be with Mully and Haw. Do you agree with Patrick Manley, who called the handoff to Doug Kramer on the goal line?
That's a bye week call to me.
From Shane Waldron, can you think of some other Waldron moments you found particularly upsetting?
There were a lot of Waldron moments that I did not like. I think that the play on third down before the eventual touchdown, before the pass interference call, I didn't understand that at all. You are at third and five, and you've got to, here's time for your best call of the game because you got to convert or you're going to have to get close enough to convert on fourth down. And what did you do?
Quarterback draw.
It was
designed run.
Designed run to Caleb
What's
Williams,
that?
Who got lit up and got crunched.
2 yards.
He's taking too many hits. You gain 2 yards. And then on fourth and three, there's a pass interference call that bails you out. I'm just saying, as a call, that was a bad idea, man. That was a dumb, dumb call, and it was as bad as any in the game. I did not under... Well, the Kramer call was probably the worst call of the game. Who am I kidding?
Of the season.
But that was another... I mean, the word's disgraceful. How do you do that? How do you get cutesy cute? When you're in like the biggest moment of the game, when you've never led in the game and you got the ball in the goal line, what are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Tell the crazy scientist that he's needed elsewhere. Get out of the lab, pal.
How about the fourth and one in the second quarter to DJ Moore behind the line of scrimmage? I'm so sick of that. And, is DJ Moore a wide receiver? Is he a running back now?
Yeah.
Two handoffs to DJ Moore?
I think that was Caleb switching out of a play. I think he had an option, and I think they had another play on, and the corner fooled him. The corner was back, and then the corner came forward.
No, I think that'll be a great thing to ask DJ at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. You like his chances there?
No.
I think you do.
No. I like to put.
He's got
to
break a tackle.
That would have been a good time for the mini fridge to be the lead blocker and give the ball. Give the ball to.
I'm really down in the mini.
Yeah,
fridge.
I know. You said unplug it, David. Yes.
What's wrong with that?
I think he wanted to defrost it. In fairness to David,
who's being fair to me? Dustin's not. All right. So, other Waldron moments particularly upsetting. How about all of them? I'm fed up with this guy. Look, I've been trying to be patient. We're 7 games in. We have 2 games where you have losses by the Bears that were largely because of calls. I just don't – my football sensibilities are so offended by Shane Waldron right now. Against the Colts, it was a speed option to the short side of the field, and it didn't make any sense. What was that? And then all this bye week time, Pat's probably right. They probably developed this on the bye week, said, we're going to, you know what we're going to do when the game on the line, we need a touchdown? We're gonna hand the ball to our backup offensive lineman because he's got such great finesse, and we'll get such great buzz out of that. No, that was the dumbest play of the game. That was the dumbest play of the season. And that was particularly upsetting to respond directly to the question, but there were others.
Hashtag all of them.
All of them.
AOT.
Hashtag defrost. It's time to unplug the mini fridge.
Yeah, I think it's a good question.
All right, we're gonna take a timeout from the Bears for a second. Everybody can breathe.
Okay.
The Bulls actually got a win. I remember I said no win until November. How do you explain the Bulls, who beat the Bucks on Friday night by protecting the ball and hitting threes, but were bad enough one night later at home against the Thunder to go get booed in the second quarter by the home fans? Is this life in the NBA middle? Anyone stand out in a good or a bad way?
Well, yeah, I think Kobe White was on fire Friday night. 35 points, that's the way the Bulls want to play. That's the way they need to play. That pace was something that, frankly, wore down the Bucks and on their home floor. That was surprising to see. Had no expectation of that. And then you feel like a fool because you believe that that's repeatable. Maybe not to that degree, but a night later, you thought at home, you get Lonzo Ball back, you got the emotion of Caruso in the building. You're at home as the opener, and then, like, man, I know OKC's really good, but you didn't really have an answer for a lot of different things that they did. Alex Caruso did what he always does, didn't score a lot, but boy, is he a factor on a very good team. So I think this is life in the NBA middle. You're going to feel great one night because, oh, they're getting it. Billy Donovan is getting through. They might be better than we think. Next night, nah, not really.
Kobe White at the home opener, 0-for-9 from threes. 0-for-9.
Yeah.
And the great Max LaVine, 7 turnovers.
That it?
That's a wrap.
Okay. Well, I thought Kobe really came to play against the Bucks, and I thought that the Bulls were moving the ball and the pace was phenomenal, and they had a lot of – it was – Stacy said it on the broadcast a couple of times that they had a couple of jump shots where it was almost as if the Bucks had read a scouting report that says, don't worry, they can't shoot, you can leave them open from the – and the Bulls were hitting tons of shots. They hit 21 threes. They never hit 21 threes a year ago. I think 19 was their season high in 2023. So they've already got a season high of 21, which is pretty good. I think they knocked down shots, and they made their shots, and they were wide open jumpers, by the way. I thought that that KC must have gotten to Patrick Williams, because Patrick Williams, I know Giannis scored a ton of points, but Patrick Williams played him well, and he hit two huge buckets down the stretch when it really mattered. I thought the Bulls played really well with their second unit. I mean, it was one of those games where you were kind of watching it like, oh my God, they're going to win this game. How are they going to go into Milwaukee and beat that team? Remember all those dark years where that never happened? They played them pretty well in the preseason, and they came out and beat them, and they flat out beat them. It wasn't a fluke. OKC is pretty outstanding. I was very impressed that they've managed to win a game this weekend. So kudos to the Bulls.
I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
With Shohei Ohtani clear to play after injuring his shoulder in game 2, how much will the injury affect Ohtani, and how much do you think it could limit Ohtani? Would you let him play through injury or rest him to protect exposure to something worse?
Well, I play him. I mean, I would definitely play him. They had him in the batting cage. He just was hitting off of a tee, but they wanted him to get used to getting his swing going. And apparently this injury comes down to a matter of pain tolerance. That's one of the things that Dave Roberts said basically, If he comes in and says he's ready to go, then he's going to go. And, I mean, you need Ohtani. You need his clutch play. You need his ability at the plate. I think it's a he's a catalyst player for your team. I think you won two games, and the last thing you want to do is make it a series now. I would do everything humanly possible to win this series as fast as humanly possible, and I would definitely cross my fingers and hope Ohtani can go, and I'd definitely keep him in the lineup.
Oh, I'd play him, but he's not allowed to steal a base. I mean, was there any questioning about why he was stealing a base when he stole the base?
A little strange.
A little strange. But because they won because they won the game, yeah. That didn't come up. Why was he stealing and whose decision was
it for
him
to steal?
He's got
the green light, doesn't
he? Yes.
He's got to have the green light.
He's got to.
Dustin, you're not putting up the caution sign for the MVP. If he wants to steal, he can steal. But I think it backfired.
Well, then learn how to slide.
I think he knows how to slide. I think this is pretty freakish,
He's not pitching.
He's definitely not pitching.
No, he won't be pitching. How about the reaction to when Ohtani was just laying there? It's almost like the baseball world just stopped breathing for a moment. Like, oh, everybody held their breath. Unless you're a Yankees fan, perhaps. And you're like, okay, I hope he's hurt. But Ohtani injured in the World Series? I hope he does come back. I hope he's fine. I hope he can tough it out if he needs to tough it out. Whatever he needs to do to put himself in the mindset of playing through this kind of pain, I think we need to see that happen. Already, the first two games, did you see the TV ratings? You see 13.8 million viewers.
Told you.
It is definitely something that is enjoyable. I hope it goes seven. I hope it goes seven to the 10th inning and they win with a walk-off, whatever. Freddie Freeman does it again if you're a Dodgers fan, or maybe it'll be Aaron Judge or Juan Soto. This is great drama. Friday night, Saturday night. I know the Dodgers are off to a 2-0 start, but who knows? With the Yankees, that could be easily go the other way the next two games. Ohtani, I hope he's healthy. This is a fun World Series.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Well, speaking of Freddie Freeman, where does Freddie Freeman's walk-off grand slam rank on your mental list of most dramatic October moments? Can one game dictate the course of an entire series?
I don't think so. I hope not, because I picked the Yankees, but it certainly lived up to the billing, and you're sitting there watching, and it could not happen to a nicer guy. You know what's uncanny? Totally uncanny that this compared so quickly and so obviously to Dodgers faithful, to Kirk Gibson in 1988, 36 years ago. Joe Davis nailed the call. You're not going to hear a better call on a World Series big moment than you heard Joe Davis, who reflected the symmetry between Freddie Freeman's home run and Kirk Gibson's. And it happened, folks, at the same exact time, 8:37 Pacific time, PM, which is kind of strange and eerie and coincidental. But yeah, I mean, there are other moments. Joe Carter, obviously the October home run comes to mind. Some of the ones that the Cubs hit, Montero, that was a big one in October. But it doesn't get much better than a walk-off grand slam in the World Series. Freddie Freeman living a dream.
Freddie Freeman, a Hall of Famer, by the way. We had that conversation the other day, so I think we can put that list to five now. But even no matter what happens, even if the Yankees come back to win this series, Freddie Freeman is a Hall of Famer. It was really great. But just with all due apologies, the call was great. Ironic that it happened at the same time. Left-handed hitter's ball basically went to the same exact part. But Freddie Freeman that was his fifth at bat. Okay, Kirk Gibson hadn't hit. That's the big difference. Okay, it was a pinch hit.
Details.
Well, I think it's important.
Details.
I do think that's important to the dramatic nature of that situation. But it was really cool. I'm glad I saw it. I watched every single pitch Saturday night. I mean, other than maybe flipping over to see really quick what was going on in LSU and Texas A&M, I saw every pitch of that game and enjoyed it thoroughly.
Listen, that was a great game, and that was a great finish, and all respect to Freddie Freeman. But if you need to also thank Aaron Boone, what was he doing?
Yes,
what was
definitely.
He thinking? He brings in Cortez,
Nestor Cortez,
to pitch against their. I mean, the guy. And it's so funny because his comment was, I felt convicted that he, not convinced, he felt convicted. Well, you're going to be convicted in the court of public opinion.
He already has been guilty.
I mean, holy cow.
Guilty of stupidity.
So you know, I don't know. I don't remember the Kirk Gibson, Homer well enough, but I'd say Freddie should send a Christmas card to Aaron Boone.
That was a bad decision. And Cortez just wasn't up for the challenge.